Do. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2 is going to be the main verse today that we're going to look at. Page 474 in the Bibles there at your seats, 474. I want to give you, and I don't normally do it this way, but I want to give you the bottom line. So you're going to know exactly where we're going before we get there today. When it comes to hearing God, when it comes to hearing from God, the challenge that we face is not getting God to speak as much as it is getting us in a position to hear. Did you get that? When it comes to hearing from God, it's not as much about getting Him to speak to us as much as it is us getting in a position to hear Him. We want answers. We want to know what path to take. We want to know what direction to go. But God wants submission. God wants submission. When we started this series 2 weeks ago, this was what we talked about. What and who I listen to will influence what I do. Say this with me. What and who I listen to will influence what I do. And that is so true. In this series, we've discussed the benefits of listening to others. We get wisdom. We press into wisdom. The series title is Opt In, Opt Out, Opt Into Wisdom, Opt Out of Foolishness. And other people have wisdom to share with us. Godly people, counselors, people that have been Christians for a long time. There's people that have been down the path that we are headed on or going through or headed toward or whatever. And they see that and they can speak life into us, or we can listen to the wrong people, right? And we can get people to affirm us, to say what we want to hear. And there's a danger in that. We looked at one of the Old Testament kings to help us through that story. And it was Ahab. He was a wicked king. Remember that? If you missed that lesson, you can get that online. You can watch it or listen to it, or you can take your communication card, check that box, and we'll send it to you this week. So the first week, we talked about listening to the voice of others. The second week, we talked about listening to the voice of wisdom. And we saw in there that Solomon actually personifies wisdom. He actually makes wisdom an it, or makes wisdom a she. And we looked at how important it is to listen to the voice of wisdom, and how the voice of wisdom is not God, right? God created the voice of wisdom for sure, but the voice of wisdom is not God. But we need to listen to wisdom because it has logical consequences, right? And we can lean into those, and we can thrive, or we can go against wisdom because of the new bright shiny thing is so cool and we just have to have it. And we can go against the wisdom of the ages. We can go against the natural consequences of things, and we will lose, right? It's just really simple, and it's not hard to hear the voice of wisdom. She's yelling at every street corner, right? That's the picture Solomon says. Her voice is all around us. We just don't lean in her direction. We don't listen to her. That's the problem. So today I want to talk about a subject that most people struggle with, and that is listening to the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God. And we usually think it can be hard or difficult or challenging, and we're not sure, God, maybe He's not that good at it, because this thing called communication. But the truth is, God created communication. Without God, we would have no communication. So that makes God the best communicator ever. God is the greatest communicator ever. He actually set the standard for what communication is and how best to accomplish it. And He is the master communicator. So no one should think it would be no one should think it would be difficult to hear from God. And in the Bible, you don't find many people, if anybody, straining to hear the voice of God. It is really clear usually in the Bible. On the other hand, some of the strangest people you've probably ever met in your life say, well, I hear from God all the time, and I would agree with that. Some of the strangest people I've met, I'm not sure it's really God they're hearing from, but they say that they hear from God all the time, and sometimes they've been checked into a special facility for that. But that's a whole nother issue. On the other side of the coin, perhaps you personally don't believe that God speaks at all anymore. You just come to the point where I can't hear Him. I've never really heard Him. I have no idea what He's really saying. So I've just kind of, I don't think He speaks anymore. And I can understand that too. There's been times in my life when I wasn't really hearing from the Lord, and maybe I was questioning and thinking that at the same time. So I hope this message will help you, because the truth is, God speaks in many ways, not just in one way or two ways or three ways, but a number of ways. And I'm going to give you some of them today. And here, some of them will have scripture with them. Some people, it's just, there's just principles, right? The first one is God speaks in nature. And I do not mean to say that nature is God, because it is not, right? That's a whole theology out there that is false. Nature is God. It is not. But the Bible is clear that God speaks through nature. Nature testifies of the greatness of God. Romans 1, in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." I mean, nature, if you take a look around you, even Darwin on his deathbed, he makes this statement: to think that the human eye evolved over millions of years is absurd to the highest degree. It wasn't quite that. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact quote, but there's so many muscles and things that have to happen in the human eye that you can just look at the intricacy of that and tell that it didn't just evolve over millions and millions of years. It would virtually be statistically impossible if you can do math to any degree. People, God speaks through people. You look at the Old Testament prophets, you look at the New Testament apostles, and we see case studies, if you will, looking through scripture, that God spoke directly through people. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, Peter, all of these people. He also speaks through wise counselors, and that can include biblical counselors, people that will look in the Word of God with you and help you discern what God is speaking into your life, and God will use them to speak to you. God speaks, as we saw last week, through wisdom. It's a universal language. It's specific principles, cause and effect relationships. If you do this, this happens. We can lean into the voice of wisdom, or we can reject it. But either way, God has spoken through it. He set it up to begin with. God speaks through your conscience. Isn't you all know about that, right? The right from wrong. In fact, if you read C.S. Lewis's book, A Mere Christianity, in that book, he proves God exists without using any verses of Bible, just by talking about the fact that we know right from wrong and the animal kingdom doesn't. And he draws a lot of comparisons and contrast with that. And absolutely, with any thinking mind, proves God's existence, because God speaks through our conscience, right and wrong. Con is with, science is knowledge. When we sin against a holy God, we do it with knowledge, knowing that it is wrong. God speaks, most importantly today, through Scripture. I mean, if you have some guy out there that's kind of half out of his mind, he's, you know, God showed up and we had drinks last night, we had a few brewskis, and we, you know, we were hanging out on the back porch, and Jesus started telling me all this stuff. You can open up Scripture and you can see what he's saying is either true or false, and I'm probably gonna bet my, if I was a betting man, my annual salary that he's probably not really hearing from the Lord. And there you would have it, right from Scripture. We can use that as a plumb line to tell. And God speaks through Scripture very clearly. That is God's voice, literally God's word. And then we have the Holy Spirit. God certainly speaks through the Holy Spirit. That is a gentle prompting beyond your conscience that you hear in your inner self. He always seems to tell us to do something that is completely selfless. If he tells you to do something selfish, you can pretty much determine that was the enemy. That was not the Holy Spirit. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light, but he always leans toward the selfish aspect of life. The Holy Spirit toward the selfless, because love is selfless. That gentle prompting that can that you can argue with until it goes away, and that's part of the problem, isn't it? We want something. We have our heart bent on something. We have our mind set on something, and the Holy Spirit says, "Not right now. Don't do that." We can argue with that conscience until it's seared. We can argue with the Holy Spirit until he is just quiet. He has spoken. It won't change, but we can argue with it and get it to go away. And that's part of the problem. And observation, the problem is God will let you win the argument. See, God is God, and he isn't insecure in what he says. A man that has to argue and argue and argue, and listen, guys, a man or a woman who has to yell and yell and yell is not secure in who they are. They are not secure in who God has made them. So they have to force their point or manipulate their point. God just speaks. And usually it's in a very still, small, quiet voice because he has nothing to prove to you. He is God. And guess what? You are not. And so he doesn't have to yell and scream and manipulate and prove his point. Observation in 25 years of ministry and scripture has led me to conclude this one thing. Listen, the challenge is not getting God to speak near as much as getting us in a position to listen. That's the truth we have to wrestle with today. On several occasions in the New Testament, after Jesus would finish a message, he would say something like this: whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. I can hear him kind of screaming that or yelling that out so a big crowd of people could hear him. Or he would say, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. There must have been a lot of people, like Peter had went through a sword and cut that soldier's ear off, right? Maybe there was a bunch of people without ears, and no, that wasn't it, was it? I know, maybe he was preaching to a bunch of deaf people, so he was shouting. Really, that wasn't it. Maybe their hearing aid batteries were dead. Maybe they were malfunctioning. That wasn't the case at all, was it? Jesus is saying, I have spoken. I have spoken, but not everyone is capable of hearing this message. That's what Jesus was saying. They're not capable of hearing the message because not everyone was in a position to hear the message. Think about that for a moment. The reason they couldn't hear is they weren't in a position to listen. This was Jesus' way of saying, my teaching is only for those who are receptive to it. My message is only for those who have tuned in and leaned toward me with a heart to follow, with a heart to obey. Seekers, learners, students, followers of Jesus. Jesus was actually quoting the prophet Ezekiel. That's why we put that verse up. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2, Ezekiel 12, 2 says, son of man, you are living among a, what kind of people? Rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. If we live in that state of rebellion, we will not hear the voice of God. God points out to Ezekiel that when people have their backs turned on God, they put God in the rearview mirror, they're headed in their own direction, they're taking their own path. When people are in that posture, they hear the words physically, they might hear the words physically with their ears. They might hear the words, but they don't hear God. So after teaching, Jesus would say, okay, hey guys, listen up. This lesson that I just taught, you know about we just had the building collapse in Miami. How incredibly sad is that, right? But Jesus taught a lesson on that, and Miami is full of sand. You build your house on the sand, the foolish man builds his house on the sand. You gotta build your house on the rock for it to stand up, right? And I don't know all the intricacies there, but Jesus said that years ago. So he said, this lesson was for those who are turned in my direction. This lesson is for seekers, those who are open and receptive to my message, those who want to engage their hearts and hear. They will be the ones who receive the benefit from this wisdom, from this teaching, from this insight, from this instruction. They are the ones who will submit and obey even before they've heard the message. They are not the ones who will argue with Jesus. This goes back to just a second ago, because those who argue with Jesus, God will let them, won't they? He won't stop them. And the dangerous thing is, God will let them win the argument. God, let's personalize this. God will let you win the argument every time. He'll let you go your own way. He is the perfect gentleman. He doesn't communicate his will for your consideration. You ever thought about that? He isn't asking, hey, what do you think about thou shalt not commit adultery? He isn't really that concerned with what you think about that. He is God and you are not, and he's not seeking your suggestion. He's not seeking my suggestion. He's not up at night wondering if this command is going to be popular. Maybe he should change it a little bit or tweak it. God is communicating his will for one reason, and that is for obedience on our side. That's the only reason he will communicate his will for us. This explains why so many people are not able to connect with God on some personal level until they've hit rock bottom. Then the Bible comes alive. Then they are aware of things that they were once dead to. In a state of rebellion, we hear, but we really don't hear. We hear physically, but we don't listen. We don't obey. And this is true of all relationships, isn't it? How many of you have children? Right? And you said, man, you got such selective hearing. That was what we said in our house. You can hear your mama if she says the ice cream truck is out front, but if she says clean your room, for some reason, you just miss that altogether, right? You know what I'm talking about. We see this in employer relationship and boss relationship, don't we? Nobody look at Pastor Matt at all, okay? Just kidding, Pastor Matt. We see this all the time in these things, don't we? We see that probably your boss says to do this and you really don't want to do, and you go like, you sit there and you just don't hear it. And maybe you really didn't hear it that well. We see it with our spouse sometimes, right? Honey, take out the trash. I just missed that one. I don't know. I just didn't hear it. Honey, I need that dry cleaning picked up. And it just, you know, I don't know. It just, whatever that looks like, it happens with marriages. There have been times in all of our lives when we did not want to hear from God. We wanted that relationship. We wanted that substance. We wanted that bitterness. We wanted that envy. We wanted what our neighbor had. We wanted to covet. So that's all we thought about. We wanted to hate that person so badly. And we didn't want to hear God. We knew what God would have to say about all of that. So we just didn't want to hear it. No amens on that, is there? We knew what he would say. Or we thought we knew what he would say. Maybe we were wrong. The danger of arguing with God is he will let you win the argument. He doesn't communicate his will for our consideration, but for our action. That's why he communicates with us. And Jesus confirmed this when he taught us how to pray. He didn't say, pray these words. He said, pray like this. This is a pattern of prayer. This is how we should pray, not what we should pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Look at this. Martin's kingdom come. Jim's kingdom come. Now Jesus is praying to the Father, right? Father's kingdom come. Look at this one. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or you could say, in my life, as if I was in heaven. But wait, isn't that a problem, praying that? I mean, I don't even know what God's will is yet. Isn't that just giving God a blank check? Exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's where listening begins, right here in the beginning of prayer. Jesus taught that you are to live with a thy will be done attitude. That needs to be the starting point. That needs to be the beginning. That attitude, more than anything else, positions you positions me, positions my family to hear the voice of God. The same idea is echoed in Psalm 46, verse 10. Look at this. Be still and know that I am God, and know that you are not. You could just pencil that in if you wanted to in the margin. I will be exalted among the nations. You won't be. I will be exalted in all the earth, and you won't. The goal here is not our kingdom, but His kingdom. He always begins by centering us, if we can use that language, centering us on who He is and who we are not in relation to Him. That's why prayer should begin with worship, with adoration, with praise, with thanksgiving. When God speaks, we don't have to wonder if what He says is right, because He is God. He's always right. If you haven't figured that out, He is trustworthy, and He is always right. Finding that place is half of what you need to hear to begin with anyway. Finding your place answers most of your questions. When we put God in the rightful place in our life, when we allow Him to take the throne of our hearts, most of our questions get answered right there. Listen, you can't hear God because you begin the conversation with you as the center of the universe. That's why we usually can't hear God. And you are not the center. He is. He is Lord, God and King. To illustrate this a little bit, think about the last time you were on the beach on a windy day. When you're walking on the beach, if you turn toward the wind, what do you hear? You hear it. You hear it roar, don't you? You hear the wind, it's almost deafening. If your wife or your kids are playing near you, you hardly can hear them because of all the wind noise that you're picking up. It can be so loud in your ear, you can't hear much of anything else. But when you turn away from the wind, what happens? It just stops, doesn't it? If you turn away from the wind, from the noise, the sound of the wind completely goes away. And so it is with God. The Spirit is just like the wind. There, He's there. God is always there. In fact, the Psalms tell us, there's Psalm 139, there's nowhere we can go away from God's presence. He's always there. You can't go anywhere away from Him. But if you are not positioned correctly, you will not hear Him. If you want to reason with God, you won't hear from the Lord. If you want to argue with God, you won't hear His voice anymore. Turning your heart in God's direction is the very key to hearing from the Lord, from hearing from God. And just so I'm crystal clear, I don't want any ambiguousness in today's message. Just to be clear, turning in God's direction is having the attitude, because you are God and because I am not God, let your will be done on earth. Hey, God, I want to be a little more personal about that. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done through my life. Everything I have is yours. Everything I am belongs to you. I am because you are. If you weren't, I would not be. And because you are God and because I am not God, let your will be done. God, before you even begin to speak, I say yes, Lord. Before you even speak, God, the answer is yes. God, I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll go, God, wherever you want me to go. That, Lord, I told you I didn't want to go there, but I changed. I'll go to that place if you want me to go there. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll confess what you want me to confess. Try praying that. God, I'll say what you want me to say. I'll look at what you want me to look at. I'll listen to, God, what you want me to listen to. Before you even speak, Lord, I say yes. I say yes. Do you know what will happen after that? You'll hear very clearly. You see, God wants surrender. Surrendered hearts are listening hearts. God doesn't speak for your consideration. God doesn't need or want your thoughts on his commands. He's not even interested in your thoughts on his commands. You know why? Because he already knows what you're thinking to begin with. He doesn't need your advice or your counsel or your wisdom or your thoughts. He's already got them. Besides all that, God already knows what you're thinking. He speaks for your submission. He speaks for your obedience. That's why he speaks to us. And unless you have a yes heart, you will not hear the voice of God. That is the hindrance. That is the block. Getting to the place of thy will be done is the necessary beginning to hear from the voice of God. As you turn your ears in his direction, you will discover that he has been speaking to you all along, that he has never been quiet. He's actually very good at communication. What are you clinging to that is so valuable that you can't put it away if God asks you to? Remember the rich young ruler? Go sell your possessions and give to the poor and then come and follow me. That is not what the rich young ruler wanted to hear, so he went away sad because he really didn't hear. Are you living with a thy will be done attitude? Are you? What are you facing that's worth more than hearing from the voice of God? Is there a grudge you want to hold on to? Is it worth missing God's voice? Is it really worth missing God's will over? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's sing this song, and then we're